haven't even entered in. You haven't even entered into the kingdom. You're still trying to decipher whether or not, am I saved? Am I lost? What am I? You need to come into Jesus, give thanks to Jesus with praise and worship. But oh, there's so much more. Then when you come to the laver of water, do you know what that represents? I'm not going to break down all of the articles for you, but that's the Holy Spirit right there. I like this. That's the Holy Spirit right there revealing to you the reflection of who you are. When you look into the laver of water, it begins to show you reflection that still shows you that you're still a mess. Hello, somebody. I guess some of y'all don't wash your face, you know, in the basin. Because when I do that at home, I get water all over the place. I want you to hear this. Have you guys ever went those old basins? Remember, you have one. It's the old basin. Then you have the jar. You put the water in there. And then you go like this. And water gets everywhere, doesn't it? It just gets everywhere. And then you got to have the towel just to kind of, you know, clean it up. But it's like this. Every time you come into the presence of God and you get praise and worship and you get right there and you start looking at yourself, how filthy you are, the Holy Spirit begins to get all over you, get all around you, begins to show you how good you really are in Him. But the reflection shows you how much of a mess you are without Him. But if you're only right here in the outer court, you have missed everything that God has promised you because you're still playing around having church out here. There's still another door. Are you here? How many of us are just still learning just how to praise? When you get up in the morning, my wife can attest to this. I put my feet on the ground. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for today. That I was able to put my feet on the ground. And before I even make a step, I start thanking Him for the one that He's about to order for me. Well, Pastor, you just saying that for the illustration. No, I'm not. I got a little dog over here that wants to go and eat. Just like, hurry up, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. And then I got a cat just walking all around me like, what you going to do now? Before I do anything to acknowledge you, I am going to acknowledge God. Before I put anything on, I'm going to put my praise on. Thank you, Jesus, that you have put my feet on holy ground. That you have ordered my steps. What did that mean? He ordered my steps before I even took the first step. Before I even did anything on this new day, He ordered my steps. So I've learned to give God praise for everything. I'm already saved. I've entered kingdom. I said yes to Jesus at that door because He's the door. But there's so much more. At that place right here at the laver, the Holy Spirit begins to teach you some things about you. He begins to show you at this place right here that there's some cleansing that needs to take place. Now, let me just break it down for you here. Yes, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. Lord, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, that He died for my sins, and He died, was buried, and on the third day resurrected, now sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for me. But because I believe and confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you are Lord, boom, I entered in. I entered into heaven. That's simple. That's simple. But you know why I feel that this, because it is so simple, too many people are going right back out. Going right back out, playing around with God, thinking it's okay. Now, before all of you religious folks in here want to say, well, once saved, always saved, or you lose your salvation. Hold on. I ain't even talking about that. You have a choice. He gave you free will. And if you choose to leave His presence, that's on you. This is going to be a good message. Calm down. You already feel everybody like, oh, Lord. Here comes fire and brimstone. I'm going to hell. No. You said yes. The Lamb's Book of Life. Your name is written in it. You go to here. But for too long, the church has stayed right here. The body of Christ stays right in here. If you have the understanding to this outer court is where the people enter in with praise and worship. And when they enter in with praise and worship in the outer court, this is where the church has been for so long that we're more worried about how everything looks, how we sound, how we interact with the saved folks in the church. But we never want to get to this place right here, because once we start getting into this door, oh, no. Johnny, what's behind door number two? Well, I'm going to tell you, behind number two is a whole different type of relationship. Behind door number two, when you enter in, now you begin to get the articles of his presence that have an illustration of the kingdom of heaven. You have the lampstand, which is the actual light. He is the light of the world. He is the light that illuminates his word. Because now right across from that is the table of showbread. It's made of flour, masa. Some of y'all are already starting to smell the barbacoa and the tortillas together. A table of showbread that is right there, right across. So what is he saying? That when you enter in, I'm going to begin to illuminate the word for you. Out here, all you're doing is just going through the motions. But in here, now the word is becoming now illuminated in your life. Now revelation of the word is beginning to change you from your outer court experience to an inner court. So he's calling us from the inner court to come out from the outer to the inner. There has been more of his presence in the body of Christ than ever before. That's great. His presence is there. But just like there's door number one, door number two, and door number three, there's three different types of presence for God himself. Three different types of presence. One, he abides with us. He abides with his omnipresence. His omnipresence is with us. Number two, number two is a presence where he begins to show up in your praise, your worship, in your word. And then not only that, he gets closer and closer into now the altar of incense where he's present in your prayers. You understanding this? Some of y'all may not like this because it's going to go against your religious mindset. Why isn't prayer out here? Why isn't the prayer out here in the outer court? You have to first deal with your flesh. You have to deal with the sacrifice of praise to enter into his word, to have the understanding of the word, so it becomes illuminated, so that now you've gone through the process so that your prayers can go up before the Lord. You ever wonder why it's praise, where it's fast beat music up first in the church? Right here. Sacrifice of praise. Then you have your worship, where the Holy Spirit begins to wash you up. Cleanse you up. Then you have the word, which is the preaching, your service. But then you have the third door, third presence. And the Holy of Holies is what? The Ark of the Covenant, his presence. We, the church, need to be right here. When you're right here in his presence, all of this wall right here, even the door, the saints of God bring the fire from the altar, like the sword from the word of God that goes out to the outer court and begins to bless the people of God in the outer court. Your vision, your dream that you had is that we're standing inside. Come here, Lionel, stand right here. Stand right here. Come here, Josh, stand over here. The altar is behind us. We're shoulder to shoulder is what you said. That means we've got to shoulder to shoulder, brother. Come on, come on. I put deodorant on this morning. It's all right. Now, here's what I want you to do. Shoulder to shoulder is because we're going to be in close proximity with our brothers. So what does the enemy want to do wants to cause division, wants to bring in all kinds of animosity, wants to come in so that you can't stand together in the presence of God. And not only stand in his presence, but now his presence can no longer permeate, because a house divided cannot stand. But a house united can come together and begin to bring the kingdom of God forward and advance the kingdom, but not just the kingdom for the saints. We enter in solo, side by side. You enter in solo. You praise and worship here together. Now, in the outer court, there's a tendency for someone to kind of rub you the wrong way, to try to come in and try to divide, and try to divide. But if you haven't been in the presence of God, that's easy to divide. It's easy to start talking about your brothers and sisters and divide because you haven't been in the presence. You haven't entered into the Holy of Holies. You haven't entered into the other door yet. Offense happens out here. That's where the offense happens. You know why? Because in the outer court out here is all the church activity. Yeah. Someone with me today? Yeah. Out here is where all the church activity is. Prophecy, laying on of hands, coming over here and discerning the spirits in everybody, telling your husband, you nothing but the devil. A wife over here saying, no, I'm not the devil, you the devil. Over here, pastor's the devil, and pastor's wife is the devil. All that is happening right over here in the outer court. But you got to remember, when you're in the outer court, you're saved. You're saved, and we're acting like the people that are outside the kingdom. They looking inside the church. Lord, help me. Here is the outer gate and the outer wall of the kingdom. Yeah, you can turn around. Probably what we got to do is turn the church all the way around. But look what happens here. Ooh, I like this thing. Look here. This is the world outside looking into the church. And what they see going on right here, that's in the open court, the outer court. They see all of the mess that's going on, all the bickering, the division and everything. No reverence to the temple of God. All the stupid things that go on. They're like, I don't need to come in here. We got this out here. Why do I got to get saved through Jesus? If this is going on out here and it's going on in there, I don't need change. Because we haven't gone through the other door. Huh. I believe that if the church folks in this outer court right here, were to enter in to the inner court and begin to give their worship unto the Lord, allow the sacrifices of their life to be a holy and acceptable sacrifice, that they would be like Cain and Abel. Abel gave a good sacrifice. What about Cain? Didn't he not sacrifice to the Lord? Which one was accepted? Abel. How do you know? Because he was able to give. Cain wasn't. But what did Abel give that was different from Cain? Say it again. Blood sacrifice. Hello, somebody. Hello. Abel knew that it was going to require something to be in the presence of God and to trust God. He wasn't going to give something that didn't shed blood. He was going to give something that shed blood, which was the representation of Jesus Christ. It was easy to say in the scripture that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and we stopped right there. But he didn't just give him. He gave him as a sacrifice. Shed blood. See, out here in the outer court right here, all kinds of offerings go before the Lord. But if you lose your discernment to know which one is acceptable, that's a dangerous place to be. Are you following me? Cain and Abel were right here. Cain gave an offering that didn't have any blood. But if we don't realize that God is requiring of us to give more, He's not worried about your money. You think God needs your money? He don't need your money. He's trying to get to your heart. That's where your treasure is. And if you're so caught up about all the money that you have, Lord. Lord giveth and he taketh away, is what the old church used to say. And people say, God don't take nothing away. I don't know what God you've been talking to. Put your money before God as a God, as an idol. He's going to bring that altar down. Abel was in this outer court, and when he gave and it was acceptable unto the Lord. Your offering must be acceptable to the Lord. What is your offering? Your offering isn't your money. Watch tithes and offering go down. Guess what's going to happen? Guess what's going to happen? He's going to send other folks to come in. Because his purpose and intent still must be met. Your tithes and your offering are for your benefit. That's how right here Jesus says, okay, I've got you out from the war and I brought you into the kingdom. I'm going to show you some things of the kingdom, but you first have to learn sacrifice. Okay, calm down. This isn't about money. Woo! This is about your sacrifice of praise, your sacrifice in your life. I'm going to start to live right. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. And at times I may not want to give up what I once knew because you just got entered in. But once you finally give it up, you start going over here to the second doorway when you enter in and his word becomes manifest. His word is now something that is drawing you. Now he's calling you, come in from the outside. I need you to come into the inner court. I've got more things to show you about my kingdom, more things to show you about my word. And when you get to the table of showbread, my word is just going to be penetrating into your spirit, your soul. Every fiber of your being is about to be permeated with his word. But if you have so much word, but not illumination of the word and revelation of the word, all you've got is information. Oh, God, help me, help me, help me. But when you get right here, incense, there's fire that is burning that is causing what you have learned in the word to make you begin to pray in the spirit for it to go before the Lord. If you don't have trials and tribulation, all you have is a lifestyle that many on the outside already live in. But when you have trials and tribulations based on the word, you're about to go into a place that is calling you to enter. Many are on the outside, but few have gone into the Holy of Holies. Oh my God. What is in the inside of the Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. Now, spend time in his presence. Who was called in there? High priest. They only went once a year to offer the sacrifice and the sin offering once a year for the people of God. When Jesus died, what door was ripped? Only this one. Not this one or this one. Only the Holy of Holies. What is he saying? Because I want you here. I want you in my presence. I want you to desire to come in. So whatever separated you is no longer there. Because I was ripped and shed my blood for you. You have access. When some of the brothers that were out here come in here. And you got people that are praying in the presence. Now try to divide the people on the outside. You can't. Why? Because you know that division is not of God. Slander, gossip, all of that is not of God. You begin to put on the mind and the heart of Christ here.
That's right, amen.
So when people try to come in and divide, you've been in the Holy of Holies. You said, no, brother, we're not here to divide. We're here to unite.
Yes.
I'm not judging you. I'm just judging the spirit in which you're coming in. Oh, y'all don't want to hear this. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego right there. Look, three doors. Three doors. The only one that got ripped open was the Holy of Holies. We can't be out here and never progress to the inner court or the Holy of Holies. If we don't do that, we don't get instructions from God if we don't enter in here. You don't get instructions here. You don't get instructions right here. Too many people playing church out here saying, I'm hearing from God. You ain't ever been there. And you're saying you're hearing from God here. How are you going to hear from God in the outer court if you never spend time with God alone in the Holy of Holies? Here's where you got all these false prophets running around. I don't mean the false prophets taking you away from Jesus. I mean false prophets to come in and give you a false word. Here's where he wants to tell you, I need you to come from out here to come inside. When you spend time with me in the inner court, now you're dipping the sword into the fire. What is he talking about? The word is coming from the throne of God. That's why it was a blue flame, which represents his Shekinah glory, his Kabod presence. Now when you put the sword, the word of God, and you bring it out, you're taking it from the inner and bringing it to the outer so you can change some folks in the outer and you begin to make change in the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? Oh, God, hear me. What was the word, Sally, that you said? Huh? Say it loud. I can only go as far as you let me. I can only go as far as you let me reveal my glory to you. If you're so carnal out here, just go through the next door and I'll reveal the carnality that I will deal with in the Holy of Holies and remove from you what keeps you separated from hearing from me, getting instructions from me. My presence, the Kabod weighty glory, only happens right here. Oh. God, three doors, three different types of presence. And I'll give it to you in the scripture because y'all like scripture. The first door and the first presence right here is the omnipresence. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can a man hide himself in the hiding places so that I do not see him? What is he acknowledging? Quit trying to hide from God. He's going to find you. Declares the Lord, do I not fill the heavens and the earth? Declares the Lord, you can't hide from God. If he created the heavens and the earth and he abides in it, he is everywhere. The devil is not. Quit blaming the devil that made you act like a sinner. That's you. That's not the devil. And don't say, well, I got a sinful nature. No, you don't. Not if you said yes to Jesus right here. If you said yes to Jesus right here, your old nature from the world system was put away, and now you had to enter in to his nature and to his glory. But what he was going to reveal in this presence here is, I'm still going to clean you up. I'm still going to make change. But you have to first see you don't have a sinful nature about you. You have God's nature on you. Oh, Lord. Oh. Door number two, second presence, is inner presence in the heart of his people. 2 Corinthians 6:16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. This is right here. Right here. That's door one. Second door. This is the inner presence. This is in the heart of his people. Here's where you got saved. This was the mind. Here, where he starts dealing with the heart. Watch. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As for God said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. He's talking about the inner sanctum of who you are. I'm going to walk with you. I will be with you everywhere you go. But I'm not just going to be in the presence around you when you hide. I'm going to be in your presence inside where you abide. Those that abide in him, he abides in you. We should be like the vine. We should be abiding in him. Here's where the abiding takes place, right here. You start abiding in his word and prayer. He starts showing you and revealing to you. But when you finally get into the Holy of Holies, that's a whole different kind of presence. Presence number three is manifest kabod. The manifest kabod glory. 2 Chronicles 5:14. 2 Chronicles 5:14 of the NIV says, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. Are you understanding this? It filled the temple of God. What temple is he talking about? He's not talking about this whole temple here. He's talking about your inner temple. He's talking about you. You are the temple of God. He says that when he begins to fill them, if you're empty, let him fill you. But if you're full of yourself, you're not full of God. You need to let all of yourself come to the altar and get rid of yourself. Cleanse yourself through the Holy Spirit. Get into the Word. Let it revelate to you who he is. And he removes you out of the equation. And he becomes now Abba Father of presence. It is right here in the Holy of Holies. Where the Ark of what? Covenant. Where the Ark of the Covenant abides. You can't live here. Because if you live here, you're so holy, you're earthly no good. We can't always walk in this type of anointing.
I'm a prophet. I just walk around. I see a thing on everybody.
No, you don't. You only see what God wants you to see. The rest of the time, you're trying to see something on someone. When you're in the Holy of Holies, it's there for purpose. To come out with the fire of God, get past the inner court, and then come out to the outer court. And begin to minister to those the presence of Almighty God. How do you minister presence to those in the outer court playing church? It's trivia time. It's trivia time. Watch this. Those in the outer court playing church, doing all the things that it's still necessary. Don't get it twisted. Okay, don't mistake it. Okay, just make vernacular resolve. Okay. Okay. How do the outer court people know that you've been in the Holy of Holies? There is a fragrance of his presence that you cannot hide. You can't disguise it. It just emanates all around you. When you come out from the Holy of Holies, woo-wee! We have some folks that know how to play church up here. I said, play church. Come on, who knows how to play church? I know it's the kids, but I'm giving them an opportunity to do it. Jeremiah's on the job. Come on, Trey. Come on, Joe. Miracle, where's Miracle? Come on, Miracle. Come on, Miracle. They know how to play church. They know how to play church. Miracle, Jewel. No, I'm going to show something with you. Come on, Hannah. Come on, Hannah. Oh, I like it. I said, I play church. Let's play church. Let's play some church. Here we go. This is church service at the House of Manna.
Praise and worship is going on. These are the outer court experiences. Go on now. Go on now.
Look here, look here.
These kids, you think they're not paying attention? They watch everybody.
Do me when I'm worshiping. Do I know you watch me? Come on, you think I don't know? Do. Here she goes, watch. Wait. She's getting there, Watch, here it comes. The hands. Yes, you do. You did it the last time. See, you think I didn't see that, huh? They watch everything. That's what goes on in the outer court. People watching everybody else, but not putting their focus over here on the inner court. People that don't know how to get in his presence are always looking at everybody else get their praise on the outer court. But the ones that get crazy out here and praise, come on, baby. Give me some crazy praisers up here. I want some crazy, the ones that really know, crazy praise. All right, you know why they're praising God so crazy out here? It's because they had an encounter back here. And when they have an encounter in the Holy of Holies, their praise is different. Their shout is different. Their walk is different. They even have a different fragrance about them. Why? Because they've been in his presence. Go climb in your speaker. You know that's what you want. Where does she go? As close as she can. See, I told you, they watch. They watch. Everybody watches. But when you've had an encounter with Jesus back here in the Holy of Holies, when you come to the outer court, you're going to influence them to come in from the outside. That's how you impact the outer court people. You impact them by your worship. You impact them with your praise. Not your knowledge, not your gifting, but your praise that you got because you spent time with Jesus. And if your praise is crying with just tears, it's because you spent time with Jesus. It doesn't matter. You're going to, watch this. Is it infect? You're going to infect somebody because what it's going to do is come upon them and begin to make change in their life. And they'd be walking out a little bit different because you did something in the Holy of Holies, but you came out from there to get into the outer court and you begin to release the kingdom in that atmosphere that more and more people that were out here are now starting to come in. They're going to start reading their Bible more. They're going to start praying more. They're going to start doing the things that God wants them to do instead of doing what they want to do. Hallelujah. God is good. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Three doors, three presents. I've had these encounters. I've had inner court encounters. I've had Holy of Holy encounters. But what I want now is for this and this on the outside of church and on the inside of church to have the kabod presence of God. Such a weighty presence that they can't deny that God has shown up. They don't want it. They don't want it. Go back to Ezekiel 44. I wasn't going to go here, but I need to show you something. Give me, Josh, just you by yourself right now, just for a second. In Ezekiel 44, Let's go to verse 5. Verse 5, watch this. It says, then the Lord said to me, son of man, look carefully, listen closely, and give attention to everything I tell you concerning all the regulations and instructions regarding the temple of the Lord. Give attention to the entrance to the temple and all that exists of the sanctuary. That means you pay attention to everything. You understand? You watch everything. You give attention to the detail. Verse 6. Say to the rebellious Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Enough of your detestable practices, people of Israel. Who is he talking to?
Right here.
Outer court. Israel represents the church. Look at what happened. Verse 7. In addition to all your other detestable practices, you brought foreigners, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, into my sanctuary, desecrating my temple while you offered me food, fat, and blood, and you broke my covenant. Instead of carrying out your duty in regard to my holy things, you put others in charge of my sanctuary. This is what the sovereign Lord says. No foreigner, uncircumcised in heart and flesh, is to enter my sanctuary, not even the foreigners who live among the Israelites. The Levites, verse 10, the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray and wandered from me after the idols must bear the consequences of their sin. They may serve in my sanctuary. Having charge of the gates of the temple and serving in it, they may slaughter the burnt offerings and sacrifices for the people and stand before the people and serve them. But because they served them in the presence of their idols and made the people of Israel fall into sin, therefore I have sworn with uplifted hand that they must bear the consequences of their sin, declares the sovereign Lord. They are not to come near to serve me as priests or come near any of my holy things or my most holy offerings. They must bear the shame of their detestable practices. And I will appoint them to guard the temple for all the work that is to be done in it.
Watch this.
He's talking for them to stay here. They can no longer come in here because they have followed after their idols. They've done things that were not what God wanted it to be done. The more you go after your idols, you go after your money, you go after your job, you go after all these things that are what or not God is telling you to do, you have put those things before God, and now he's going to take away from you, before you get so religious on me, he's going to take away from you the duties that are going in the inner court. He's going to allow you to be on the outer court, do all your church things, come and tithe and come and bless the people of God with song and dance. But unless you get right with God again and bring down those altars of those idols, you're always going to be in the outer. What's this? Verse 15. This is awesome right here. But the Levitical priests, who are descendants of Zadok, and who guarded my sanctuary with the Israelites went astray from me, are to come near to minister before me. They are to stand before me to offer sacrifices of fat and blood, declares the sovereign Lord. They alone are to enter my sanctuary. They alone are to come near my table to minister before me and serve me as guards. When they enter the gates of the inner court, they are to wear linen clothes. Watch this. They must not wear any wool garment while ministering at the gates of the inner court or inside the temple. They are to wear linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments around their waist. They must not wear anything that makes them perspire. When they get out of the outer court, when they go out into the outer court where the people are, they are to take off the clothes they have been ministering in and are to leave them in the sacred rooms and put on other clothes so that the people are not consecrated through contact with their garments. When you are in here, you have got to have on linen garments on your head, meaning you can't be your knowledge. You can't think it all the way through. You can't filter it. You can't understand it. You have got to trust God that it's by faith and not by what you know. And he's going to say, you can't even sweat it out. Woo! I should have done this message. Don't sweat about it. Because what he's trying to tell you is, I'm the God that is in your head. I'm the God that is in your heart. But he says that the linen was also around the waist. What is he talking about? Truth.
He's talking about the word of God that is that will gird you, guard you, hold you up, lift you up. Oh my God. Then he says the undergarments. Are you hearing undergarments? Victoria's Secret got no secret on Jesus. What's he talking about? He's talking about that you are going to put on the linen undergarments, because what it has to be is that even the very sacred things to you that make you perspire in his presence are going to be dealt with so they can come out. Oh, Lord. So when you're in his presence and he begins to minister to you, you have now have a different raiment on you, different clothing on you. His clothing, it's light, it's not heavy. Wool is heavy and itchy. It's to keep you warm. But when you are in the presence of God, his warmth, his love, his warmth, his presence is the fire of God that will keep you warm but won't make you perspire. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace. They didn't smell like smoke. They weren't burnt up. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? When you come into the presence of God, three went in, but when they saw who was in there, they saw the figure like the Son of Man. When you get into the fiery furnace sometimes in your life, just know this, that God has taken off all this heavy stuff that's all around you. You'll get in his presence and he'll begin to reveal to you that I will give you peace. You will not sweat. You will not burn up, nor will you come out smelling like smoke. I will engulf the people that have come to persecute you. But when you come out, you're going to come out with different clothing, so that when they come out and they touch you, they're not going to get saved by you, but my presence that is in you is what's going to change their heart, their mind, and going to want to have more encounters with me. Are you hearing this? Woo! God, you're so good. You're so good. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for your word that is true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, God, that what you're doing right now is to show us there's a place that we must be, a place that we haven't been before, a place that if we've been there once before, we want to have a new encounter with you, not the same encounter. We don't want to begin to put you in a box and say this is the only place you dwell, because now you dwell within us in this temple, that everywhere that we go, you begin to reveal more of your glory, your weighty presence, that we carry your presence outside of the Holy of Holies. We carry it into the world system. We carry it into the church system. We carry it into our jobs. We carry it into the schools. We carry it everywhere that we go so that we can release your presence, God. Your kabod glory, that we can't even stand to minister. You begin to minister through us and not us ministering. God, I thank you that we are not a people that are comfortable in the outer court. Woo! Let us come in from the outside and enter into the Holy of Holies. Let us minister unto you. Let us be a people, oh God, that love and desire your presence. That all we ever desire is to get revelation of who you are more and more. But not to say that we've got this revelation, but so that we can come and reveal Christ in the outer and outside the temple. So that when we go out into the outer court, Lord, your presence is radiant. Your fragrance is like the oxnard of the woman that broke open her sacrifice, the alabaster box, and poured it upon your feet. The fragrance began to fill the room. It was like your glory, God, began to fill the room. It irritated the folks that did not understand worship. It irritated the folks that did not understand who you are. She came to prepare you for where you were going in glory, but you said because of what she brought as a sacrifice into you, God, that this message of her would be preached all the time and all across the land. Let our fragrance, our worship, let it be given unto you. That every religious mindset, every religious folk, Father God, whether it be through rituals and whether it be through things that they desire more than anything than your presence, let them be irritated by your presence. Let them be irritated by the worship, God. Let them be irritated so much that they begin to inquire and question, what is this thing that we are sensing? What is this presence that we are feeling? It's not a what, it's a he. And he, God Almighty, by his presence, is revealing himself. Let us be, Father, in the kabod, the weighty presence, so that we can deposit in the atmosphere for those that are in need of a special touch. But we thank you for it right now, in Jesus' mighty name. I want you, if you would, please stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. As I close right now,